This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Wednesday, November 18th, 2009. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Toastmasters Podcast. My name is Ryan Levesque.
And I'm Bo Bennett.
And what do we have on tap today, Bo?
Well, today we're going to be speaking with Ms. Corinne Ramos. We're going to be speaking on the topic of multicultural PR. Have you heard of that before?
Not until today, Bo.
Well, me neither, and I would guess that many of our listeners haven't either. That's why this interview will be entirely fascinating for everybody. So let's listen on in.
Bo and I are speaking with Corinne Ramos. Corinne is a member of the Yorba Linda Placentia Toastmasters Club in Yorba Linda, California. A first-generation Filipino-American, Corinne is the president of Walson Communications, a multicultural public relations and marketing agency based in Orange County, California. Now, you may recognize Corinne's name as she wrote two articles in the October 2009 issue of the Toastmaster magazine, one of which was entitled Breaking Down Stereotypes. And that's not exactly what we're talking about today, but there's certainly some overlap. But welcome, Corinne, to the Toastmasters podcast.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Sure. Corinne, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself to begin with, where you actually come from?
Sure. Well, I was born in Manila, and then I came here with my family, my parents and my sister. I came to America when I was 5 years old. We settled in California and pretty much grew up here, embracing American ways, speaking English, that kind of thing. I've gone back and forth to the Philippines, actually spent a year there in when I was about 10 years old. So that really kind of solidified the bicultural education in terms of language. I was able to learn the language there as well, the Tagalog language, and also learn about more about the culture. So we've gone back and forth for a visit since then, but we came back to the States, and I went to the University of California, Berkeley, go Bears, lived up in Northern California until I moved to Southern California about 13 years ago. That's where I opened my agency. I started also my career as a journalist, working a lot with ethnic media, Asian American media here in California. So that also added to my background and my interest in doing multicultural public relations.
And that is something that I've really never heard of before, multicultural public relations.
It's right.
That's kind of unique. Did you think of this, or are there many other companies out there doing the same thing?
Oh, gosh, yes. There's a lot of companies doing the same thing. It's basically, I think a lot, also the background is it's a lot of people like me who live in both worlds, kind of the American Western world, and we have our background, our ethnicity is in the multicultural world, so I consider myself very lucky to enjoy both. So, you know, there's people that focus on the Hispanic market, so they do PR for Hispanic markets. So my multicultural, I focus a lot on the Asian American culture. So a lot about bringing companies who want to target the Asian market into that community, and then also bringing the Asian companies or organizations that want to break out, be a little bit more known, into the mainstream culture as well. So that's what I enjoy. That's kind of who I am, you know, somebody who's gone between both worlds a lot.
Gotcha.
Live in both worlds.
Now, what I find interesting is you say that you focus in the Asian culture, and obviously there are many Asian countries. Are you an expert in all these countries, or do you have other people working for you, or have you just done enough studying and traveling to know the difference and the nuances in all the different cultures?
Well, I've done a lot. I've participated in a lot of educational training and organizations. I'm a member, I've held leadership positions in different Asian groups. But my focus has mostly been Asian American, not so much the country, overseas countries abroad outside the United States.
Okay.
But I've certainly come across in these groups that I've participated in and been involved with people who are fairly new to this country. So they bring a lot of more of the customs and culture from their countries, which is it's a great learning experience for somebody who enjoys that kind of thing, and that which is me.
Well, that's what's wonderful about America. It's like a melting pot.
Exactly.
I should trademark
exactly.
that.
Yeah.
Did somebody use that already?
My Toastmasters Club meeting, we had several new guests, and we had a lady who just arrived from China. Her husband is working here, and she's wanted to join Toastmasters. It was wonderful. So
nice.
It was neat. Yeah.
Corinne, for someone who is a speaker or a business professional who needs to communicate with a group that's outside of their own ethnicity, what are some of the considerations that they should be aware of if they want to remain culturally sensitive in communicating with these groups?
Well, I think that's a great question. For a lot of the people that I interviewed for my article for Toastmasters magazine, they do specifically, that's all that they do in their profession, is talk about cross-cultural communications, and they train people who will speak overseas, different countries, their different ethnicity, in front of different audiences of different ethnicities like that. And we talked a lot about that, and a lot of commonalities was that they advised the speakers who would be doing that is to do your research. Do your research on that country's customs, especially business practices, how to speak in front of an audience, what works in front of those kinds of audiences, what doesn't work, that kind of thing. And even though there's each country, of course, has its own customs and Asian cultures, also a lot of commonalities, but also they have their own individual nuances, things like that. So I don't want to lump them together, but a lot of common practices is to just, like I said, do your research. And sometimes one of the commonalities, for example, in Asian cultures is they tend to be very quiet as an audience. We don't, if you are expecting like a heavy Q&A and people raising their hands or people reacting very vocally to your presentation, that's probably not going to be the case. I interviewed one of the executives at Yahoo over there. Yahoo, she's based in Singapore, Bennett Porter, and she said, you know, she's a half Asian and half Caucasian, and she's been over there since 2006, and she gives a lot of presentations, and so she's learned that Q&A is her Q&A is going to be very light, but you don't take that personally, or. Especially jokes. I think a lot of speakers are trained to, well, open with a joke. Well, sometimes those jokes are not going to be appropriate for that audience, or they won't get it. You know, knock knock or why chicken cluster. Those are all kind of cultural based jokes. So be very careful on telling jokes when you are in front of an audience that is of different cultures from you. So it just depends. There's a lot of resources out there for getting to know learning how to speak in front of these diverse audiences. For example, one of the authors that I interviewed also is Michael Soon Lee. He is the author of Cross-Cultural Selling for Dummies, which is part of the Dummies series books. He is the first Asian American certified speaking professional. So he does a lot of presentations for salespeople. Mm-hmm. So he does that, who go overseas, and that's his main focus of business.
Okay.
So he trains them on how to go over there and how to speak to something. But the general, again, if you are specifically focusing on one country, then definitely learn a lot of there's a lot of good information out there. You can go on the internet. Toastmasters especially has also, their website has some really good resources for learning a specific country's customs. But it's all about respect. It's also about respect no matter what country you are from or what country you're going to. Just kind of do enough research. Maybe not, don't be scared. You know, it doesn't have to be too intensive, but just general basic stuff.
So the kind of research you suggest is basically just doing research on the internet, just doing some Google searches.
Oh, yeah. When I was doing research for this article, that's where I started. I just had stacks and stacks of really great information specifically, like certain countries, you don't shake hands with the females of that country. You know, they don't, you know, of course, they have the bow. Mm-hmm. And then they bow, and depending on how, there's even information about how deep the bow is, that kind of thing. So the deeper the bow, the more the person you are bowing to is of a higher degree, higher position in the company or organization that you are speaking with. So that kind of thing, which is really fun and interesting, I think. So
fascinating.
Yeah.
Corinne,
I wonder if you could give us an example, assuming you have one, of a time when you worked with a client who was unintentionally communicating in a culturally insensitive way, and how you help them correct their approach.
Again, going back to that, you go to an Asian cultures or Asian countries or even Middle Eastern countries, and we tend to be, in America, we tend to be very ethnocentric. So we have to recognize those kinds of differences. Let's say a client was going to be representing, they're actually one of the sponsors at a big festival here. The Vietnamese community, they celebrate the Lunar New Year with a big pet festival, TET. That's their New Year. Uh-huh. It usually occurs late January or early February, depending on the moon. So they had never participated in this organization. It was a hospital. It was a major hospital here in Southern California. And I said, well, okay, one of the first things we need to do is have a banner, create a banner. And they came out from the back room, and I said, oh, they have a banner. They had used it at the Korean festival a while back or last year with this work. Uh-huh. And it was in English, and it was also in Korean. And I said, absolutely not. But when I started doing multicultural PR about as little as 10 years ago or as long as 10 years ago, depending on your viewpoint, that was still kind of common. I came across that kind of thing. It was kind of common practice. I thought it was a very simple thing, but for some other people, a simple thing to know, not to do something like that. But for others, it might not be, you know. It's not. So, but I think in the past 10 years, even the 5 years, been a lot of education about cross-cultural communication and customizing your messages, your presentation to match that, to be appropriate for the audience that you're addressing.
Yeah, this is all great stuff. Especially, I could see the need for somebody to embrace this in business. So, where can people find out more information about what you do specifically?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. My website is www.walsonpr.com, walsonpr.com.
All right, and do you do business with people all over the country, all over the world?
I do, yes, I do, I do. So in Florida, I have a client in Florida, New Jersey, and certainly Southern California.
All right.
Fantastic.
Well, it has been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you. This is some new material that I didn't even know existed. So you're educating
me
as well.
Thank you very much.
All right. You have a good day.
Thank you, Corinne.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty. Well, let's do some listener feedback. We haven't done that in a while. And Ryan, you remember a while back we had a little contest?
Yes, I do.
And the contest was for somebody to tell us the most, how did we word it again?
It was a poor public speaking experience.
Experience, right.
Yeah. And this was for someone who's been speaking for a while. They're not a brand new Toastmaster giving their first speech, but one that just didn't go too well.
Right. And out of all the entries, we picked this one as the winner. So here we go. Let's play it.
Speech gone bad. This is David Burr. I'm an advanced communicator, Silver. And shortly after I received my Competent Communicator Award, I was in the Humorously Speaking Manual and crafted a brilliant speech on the difference between sexes getting ready for a party. Well organized, jokes very well thought out, ran it past my wife. She thought it was hysterical. However, we're very open. I then presented this to my club, which was Lamplighters in North Carolina. And it started well, but it started crashing very quickly. I looked at the eyes of my audience. They were stunned at some of the jokes I was telling. Couldn't believe that I could be that patently, sexist in my comments. And this is a group who had seen me and coaxed me and coerced me into being an excellent speaker. But at that point, the daggers were there. And basically, as an airplane pilot, either you auger it in or you parachute. And I said, I may as well go all the way with this thing because it's going to be ugly. So the only takeaway will be excellent feedback. Well, I finished the speech, nearly an ovation, and the evaluator gave me a decent evaluation. However, he was pretty new to the process. So then I circled to two members who knew me quite well, and I said, okay, give me the real scoop. And they said, it was awful. It was hellacious, worst speech we've ever seen you do. You offended us from every which way. Moral of the story is, I will never do a humorous speech that attacks any group of people. Humorous speeches only need to be dealing with third parties, so to speak, where both myself as well as my audience is looking at this thing from an outside world and can certainly laugh at it rather than laugh at people.
I love it. Great story, David. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. And I think, Ryan, what I like most about that is the fact that I think everybody could picture themselves in that situation, and he had a good advice. Think of it like an airplane pilot. Either jump out, parachute, or you got to take that plane down.
Right.
That's the decision you have to make. Make that decision while you're giving the speech, while it's going horribly wrong, and just go with it from that point on.
Right.
Good stuff.
Thanks for sharing it, David.
And congratulations for being the winner. And we got some more listener feedback that came in via email from Ray Dean. And he says, someone within Division B has suggested a podcast that explains the significance and importance of adhering to the time limits as stated within each project. Good idea. We'll definitely put that on our list of topics to explore. Next, we have an email from Robert. Robert says, I am interested in hearing one of the or some speeches through podcasts. That is a very interesting topic as well, something I'm not sure if we would get into, actually playing speeches on the podcast, considering the limited time that we do have.
Right.
But, you know, we've done table topics before, so you never know. Maybe. We'll consider it. Thanks for the feedback. And finally, we have an email from Scott. Scott says, hey, now there's an app available on the App Store for you to keep track and keep time for your speech pauses while a person is speaking, the ums, the ers, ands, likes, sos, and so forth. This is for your Apple iPhone or your iPod Touch. So for those of you out there who need a neat little timing application, also, of course, to keep track of the ums and ahs, if you don't want to use that pen and paper thing, then give it a try.
Go high tech.
Once again, you can find it on iTunes, but the best way to find it is go to the website called iumm.com, iumm.com. So pretty cool application, and thank you for that, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, that will do it for this episode. Ryan, if people want to give feedback, how can they do it?
Well, they can call our listener feedback line at 1-888-451-8862 and leave a message up to 2 minutes in length. Or they could send us an email to podcast@toastmasters.org. They could post on our blogs at toastmasterspodcast.com. Or find us on Twitter, twitter.com/theTM Podcast.
Very good. Thank you very much for listening. I am Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care, everybody.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.